What is up, Level Up Nation, and welcome to the May 2nd edition of OTN's Level Up Live, your home for the hottest takes in gaming news. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by the king of the courtside king, the achievement hunter extraordinaire. You can call him Joey, though. What's up, buddy?
I don't know about all that. I do some achievement hunting here and there. I enjoy it quite a bit, but there are definitely people a lot more successful than I am in that area. Yes, John, some relatively speaking.
I don't know about that, sir. You've tried to get me on that, like, true hunter gaming achievement thingy, whatever. You stalk my stuff on there, too. I don't know. I kind of think you're in deep there, sir.
I got to keep an eye on you, you know? You just never know what you're up to playing over there. So.
Speaking about keeping an eye on, Joey, Nation, did you know you can keep an eye on your favorite podcast that talks about video games? Simple as that. Follow us on Twitter or X or whatever Elon's calling it now, and Facebook at OTN Media. We're also on Threads and Instagram at OTN underscore media. That's OTN underscore media. And if you don't want to wait for Thursday for our reactions, our initial reaction to gaming news as it breaks, make sure you follow our personal accounts also. They're free to the public, no charge. It's no longer $9.99 for Joey's account anymore, which is kind of nice. He's taking that to another website. Follow Joey at Courtside King on all those social media outlets as well. And you can follow myself at Is This Thing John for all of our reactions to video games, horrible college logo changes, all the above. We have all that in there as well. And Nation, while Twitch is the place to be for the live show, we do offer the show in podcast form, available roughly 24 hours after the live airing. Make sure you follow the Level Up Podcast on your podcatcher of choice. Extra credit, hack into your grandma's Amazon Prime account and use that Twitch Prime sub on OTN Media. Not only will she thank you because you figured out her password, but you're also going to be supporting one of your favorite content creators out there in OTN Media. All right, Joey, aside from encouraging hacking grandma's Twitch Amazon account, I should say, what are we talking about tonight on Level Up?
Yeah, John, we have a lot. Quite a bit, from business side news to new game announcements to rumors that have kind of run wild on the really social platforms all over the place, but especially over on Twitter/X. We've had quite a bit rolling there on the Xbox side of things, but some new announcements across all platforms. Nintendo with some nice stuff, PlayStation as well, Xbox, and of course, PC and our multi-gaming platform/news that kind of covers every console, every PC type of platform, some of those handheld devices and beyond. So lots to touch on tonight. Again, we had to cut a lot of topics, but in the end, we still have a very healthy portion of things to cover tonight, kind of all across the board.
We like our podcasts healthy because otherwise, Joey, they have to go to the podcast hospital. simple as that. Joey, we have our topics. We have our buffet in front of us, and we need something to wash that down. Of course, it's time for the drink of choice. Joey, your beverage for tonight's episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the fancy beverage last week. Unfortunately, tonight, just going with water in the old jug here. What do you got to carry us, though?
Carry us? My guy, my doctor, is telling me to lay off the alcohol. I'm rocking the Coke Zero in the Washington Nationals City Connect Jersey Cup from last year. Yeah, what do you know about that? Simple as that. Nation, we have our topics. We have our beverages. So it is time to get into the nitty gritty. It is time to dive in into the first episode of Level Up Live here in the month of May. And we're going to do that by jumping over. Well, we're going to start with Nintendo. But before we can do that, PSA announcement. Today's episode of Level Up Live is presented by GamerBytes, bite-sized gaming news delivered weekly directly to your inbox. Sign up today, otnmedia.org/gbsignup. Joey, Nintendo is up first. What in the world is going on in the world of Nintendo?
Absolutely. First and foremost, some new games heading to Nintendo, some that have been rumored for a little while now, some that we've seen delayed time and time again, finally making their way over to the Red platform. First and foremost, Xbox, the award-winning Hi-Fi Rush title that pulled in a number of game awards from multiple shows, has been rated for the Nintendo Switch in Europe. We originally heard that it was coming to Nintendo Switch. The rumors circulated for a little while. Then they kind of fell back off as we saw an official announcement for the PlayStation platform. Still nothing official for Nintendo Switch from Hi-Fi Rush, Xbox, Microsoft. No one has really said anything, but VGC coming out here and stating that it has been rated in Europe, so they at least think it is moving forward. One of the theories out there is that we haven't seen it yet because Nintendo has kind of flip-flopped a little bit on when they're looking to release the next Switch hardware, whether it's the Switch 2, the Super Nintendo Switch. We don't know an official name yet, nor do we have an official announcement, but a lot of people do believe it is out there. With that being said, with this now rated, John, I'm thinking it could be closer to an original Switch release, at least I'm assuming, because the rating has come out. And in the past, we have gotten some ratings way early, but the fact that it was rated for that particular platform makes me think we'll probably see it sooner than later.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good signal. A game's not going to get graded or rated if it's not going there. It's just a waste of time and money on everyone's part. So I think that's a very, very good indication. And again, big fans of Hi-Fi Rush here on the Level Up podcast. Seriously, like, if it's on your platform, if it's coming to Nintendo, definitely check it out. It is a fantastic game.
Absolutely. So one to look forward to there, guys, and I think it'll play great on a handheld device. On top of that, Star Wars Hunters. John, I literally thought this game was dead at this point. I think it was supposed to release, I want to say 2021, maybe 2022. It's kind of a online multiplayer type of game in the Star Wars universe that kind of leans into the Hunter aesthetic. At least for now, after years of delays, it does sound like it will release. We now have a launch date of June 4th for this one. We do have a little trailer we can probably play on the show here. A little bit of new updated graphic look from what we've seen previously with announcements with this one. I don't know if I'm excited for this or not. I don't know. It makes me worried when games get delayed a ton. I'm okay with like one big delay and some reasoning behind it. This one was delayed 3 or 4 times with not real too much reasoning behind it. And a lot of those games, the most recent being Skull and Bones, have not landed the greatest. With that being said, it is the Star Wars IP. Star Wars has a huge following. This one could end up with a nice rebound.
Yeah, I was right there with you, Joey. I thought this game was dead. I thought this game was dead and we wouldn't hear anything about it. And then lo and behold, here it is. Yeah, it looks great. I think the graphic update from what we originally saw when it was announced, I think they've done a great job at remodeling a lot of these characters that we're going to see here in-game. I think Star Wars fans are going to be excited for it. It's not exactly a game that I may be too interested in. I'll definitely check it out a little bit, mainly because it's just Star Wars, like you said. It definitely speaks to the Star Wars fans out there, and especially with this weekend being Star Wars weekend, for a lot of people. I think that's going to get a lot of people excited for this as well. I'll check it out, but it's definitely not the ideal Star Wars game I was kind of hoping for.
Yeah, I think the thing they're going to have to do with this one, because it's kind of been under the radar for so long, they need to come out, and once this launches or up to launch, give us an idea of what the content schedule looks like. Are we getting new characters on a certain cadence? Are we getting new maps? What type of modes is setting it apart from other games? Is it just going to be like Pokemon Unite with a Star Wars skin and some guns? Is it just going to be Fortnite with a new little skin and an arena, or something like Rocket Arena like we saw from EA? It just doesn't feel like there's a ton of information out there. Now, with that being said, you and I both thought it was dead, so we really haven't done a ton of research either. There could be more information out there as far as a little bit more details in the maps and the characters and the weapons and the game modes. You guys can definitely do some extra research on there if you're interested in this one. I do think it is one to watch, especially with the revival of it kind of coming back out of nowhere. With that being said, there is a little bit of a nervousness with me. One, because it just kind of appeared out of nowhere. But two, it wasn't in a showcase. And Nintendo, I think, just recently did a showcase, if I remember, like a month or so ago, maybe even a little bit less. The fact that we didn't see it there makes me kind of wonder why we didn't see it there. Part of the idea could be like, oh, maybe you hold off to have it at Star Wars Celebration, or you hold off for a big May 4th announcement. It didn't really hit either of those either, so it just kind of falls on a weird announcement day. I'm curious to see what it does end up becoming when it does launch later in early June. Next up, just a quick hit on this one for Pokemon fans. A little bit more housekeeping on the business side of things. The Pokemon Company has announced a new subsidiary, Pokemon Card D Studio LTD. Yes, they talked with Microsoft over naming rights on that one. This was formerly DENA Digital Production Company, for those who are really keeping tabs. I don't really know if there's anything else to say about this. Pokemon is just kind of more subsidizing their divisions, more specializing them in different areas. This particular division is the one currently working on the Pokemon TCG Pocket project. So for those who've played the mobile version of the Pokemon card game, this particular company is working on the new age version of that should be launching on Apple and Android devices. I believe it's coming to both at launch here later this year. John, I'm excited for that one. I know you and I both have dabbled a bit into TCGs. You're currently playing quite a bit of Star Wars Unlimited. I'm doing some Lorcana and Pokemon collecting. I am curious to see a new game come to mobile, especially with the success of Marvel Snap last year.
Yeah, what I think is going to be interesting is the idea that you get a free pack a day from the original announcement trailer from Pokemon Company is a free pack a day. So you don't necessarily have to pay to win. But if there's one thing Nintendo and Pokemon are great at, it's pay to win. You're gonna have opportunities to buy packs. You're probably gonna have chances to earn packs in game as well. There's probably gonna be a battle pass. I mean, that's what Marvel Snap. There we go. That's the name of the game I haven't launched in forever. Yeah, it's probably gonna be like that, where there's a battle pass and you can earn cards, different variants and whatnot. I'm excited for it. Snap kept my attention for a little over a year, which is very impressive for a mobile game. We'll see if Pokemon can hold the attention longer. I do play Pokemon Unite. I do still play Pokemon Go. Not as frequently as I do. I'm not just going to load it up whenever I feel like it. But yeah, I mean, I think Pokemon will have a better chance at holding me on. But I am terrified it's going to become a pay-to-win kind of game.
I definitely think it'll have pay-to-win elements. Oh, yeah. I am curious what they do on like the trading side of things. Like, I feel like one of the most fun parts of card collecting is the ability to trade or to sell different cards in certain aspects. And I'm curious how they approach those. Do they allow for a sellable market, like something we have with Steam's Counter-Strike? Do we have the ability to trade cards with friends for free or for monetary value? Maybe it's a card-for-card trade. I don't know what that looks like. But I think tackling that is going to be an important part of this game. On top of that, John, I think that is such a brilliant dopamine hit to give a free pack a day.
Yeah.
That's going to get so many people just to log in for that free pack. And then as you're there, maybe you draw something you like, maybe you don't, but you'll probably stick around and play a game or look at your collection or buy another pack. Yeah. I think that is brilliant from a business perspective. Hate the idea of it taking advantage of consumers. I can just imagine all the kids who buy V-Bucks out there with their parents' credit cards will probably get some hits here with the old free Pokemon pack. But from a business perspective, I think that is a brilliant way to get daily logins.
Tammy, why'd you spend $100 on a Pokemon TCG? What's a Pokemon TCG, Timmy? Boomers. I'm projecting in the future.
Oh, I agree. I think that's a great forecast. I'm going to call you Professor John Trelawney over there with that kind of prediction. Harry Potter reference for those who didn't get that. Come on, people. I think I just recently watched one of those is why that came to mind. With that being said.
Well, real quick, with trading cards, I think you have a point, though, because my buddy who's playing Star Wars Unlimited got double Cassian Andor leader cards. And I believe he is a rare leader. So pulling them is a little bit harder to do. He pulled them twice. And I had like three different Han Solos. So I traded Han Solo for a Cassian Andor. So I kind of hope there is going to be some kind of trading in that sense, where if they're on your friends list, it'll be a free trade or something like that. Obviously, people are still going to take advantage of that. But nonetheless, I think that would be a really, really cool feature if they put that in there.
With your Han Solo trade, did you shoot the trade out first?
Joey.
This is why you guys need to watch the live show. Come on, people.
No, I have not played with Han Solo as my leader because it's actually a fairly weak card. As a leader, I'm currently rocking Vader. Vader's a pretty balanced card for the type of deck I'm playing, which is an aggro deck. I'm struggling on beating my friend's Chewbacca deck. Let's just leave it there. Chewbacca is redonkulous at the moment, but that's neither here nor there.
Redonkulous Chewy.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys want to give John tips on Star Wars Unlimited, make sure to follow him over on X and other social media platforms. As I got to remember your new tag. Is this thing John? See, this is what happens. You do 300 something episodes with one tag, and then Joey has to try to remember it.
The artist formerly known as Fiasco.
There you go.
It's still Fiasco. Like, it's just social media changed. It happens.
Slowly but surely, we are learning that new change. But John has definitely got his new name down, thankfully. So go ahead and send him tips over there on socials. Next up in the Nintendo world is Super Nintendo World. It's coming to Universal's Epic Universe, set to open in Orlando in 2025. John, Super Nintendo World has seen some success over in Japan. Recently opened, I believe, last year. Seen a number of people come through the park, a number of people go down the pipes of the Mario world over there in Nintendo World. We're seeing a lot of expansions as well. I believe Donkey Kong is already activated over there in Japan with some other future announced and unannounced things to come. It does look like it will be making its way over this side of the Atlantic and Pacific into Orlando later next year. I'm excited for this one. I think this Epic Universe Park in general has some potential. I want to say this is the one with... it's like How to Train Your Dragon might be here. Yeah. I think like Monsters Universe, I can't remember the name, Dark Universe maybe, is the name of the one with the mummy and all that stuff. So they have five or six different universes in this park, and I think it could come together as something really special.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really cool. Like you said, it's been doing incredibly well in Japan. I know we've talked about it on the show before when it was originally announced. I've been following the drone pictures of them building this park for the past year and a half. Seen the progress that they've been making. The Donkey Kong roller coaster is wild. It's actually a sidetrack. So you're actually sitting on top of the track sideways.
It's a mine cart too, right?
Yeah, it's a mine cart.
Yeah.
So it looks like you're on a fake track, so it can make you look like you're jumping the track. But really, the track's beneath your car, and you can't really see it because it's sideways, and the car's like, it's like a T. The top of the T is your car, and the track is below it vertically. So it's really cool. I think it looks great. I'm super excited for it. I can't wait to go in 2025.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So if you guys have that on your radar, 2025, we don't have an exact date yet, but opening in Orlando later next year. Over to our friends in blue at PlayStation. Just a couple announcements for PlayStation this week. But again, we do have the other game stuff, or other platforms rather, that will definitely hit on PlayStation later in the show as well. For now, though, PlayStation specific, we have PS Plus games for May finally announced. Four new games coming over here to PS Plus subscribers for free. Those games are FC24, the new EA Sports FIFA-like title. We have Ghost Runner 2, Tunic, and Destiny 2, the Lightfall expansion. Of those, everyone is available for PS4 except for Ghost Runner 2. That one will be PS5 exclusive in this bundle. So again, guys, four new games if you're a PS5 owner, and three new games if you're a PS4 owner. Though I believe you can claim that license and then play it if you do eventually upgrade to a PS5. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that is how it works. So I like this deal, John. I think you get a nice little assortment here. You get a big sports game kind of coming toward the end of its lifespan, unfortunately. There will be a new one here in 3 or 4 months. With that being said, you get some nice indies as well. Ghost Runner 2 and Tunic. Tunic, I believe, won an award or two back in its time, and Ghost Runner also nominated for some. And then last but not least, Destiny 2 Lightfall. Check out the latest expansion before the new one drops here with the final shape in early June. Anything else to say for those PS Plus games?
I know EA FC 24 is coming to Xbox also. Spoiler alert. The real question here is, Joey, is Panicking Pat going to hop on EA FC 24 now that it's free?
I see him
lurking in chat. That's why I'm throwing it out there. But will he actually hop on? Will he use hard drive space for his arch nemesis, EA FC 24? We'll find out.
Has he not played a FIFA game in a while still? He's kept
he's helped out with the FIFA the EA FC tournaments at District E up in DC, but I don't think he's actually played it.
Wow. Well, TBD on that one. We'll see if Panicking Pat jumps back into the virtual game of soccer when that one does come later on PS Plus. Next up for PlayStation, we have a Returnal announcement. This one coming from PlayStation's Returnal, the studio behind that, Housemarque, as well as Dark Horse Comics. It's a couple announcements. It's like a three-tiered approach here. We have Returnal Fallen Asteria, the graphic novel. So for those who want to dive more into the Returnal universe, Fallen Asteria will be a graphic novel coming out later this year. We have a Returnal art book for those looking to dive more in beyond just the artwork of the game itself. This will give a little bit more story into the concept art that built out the game that you guys eventually went on to play. And then Fallen Asteria, the animated adaptation, joining the ring of 75 plus something video game adaptations in the works. This is one of the newest announced ones. Fallen Asteria kind of spinning off from what we have with the Returnal game itself. I really like the art style from this announcement, John. I think it is very interesting from the animated approach. Almost reminds me a little bit of like the Telltale games, if you guys have played any of those. Kind of has a similar vibe to that, but also creepy, also thrillery, similar to what we get with the game. And I'm curious to see how this one does land with audiences and fans.
Yeah, I love the announcement. I think it looks great. I love the different style for the announcement. It's always good to go against the grain sometimes. It's always good to kind of throw it up and change things up, and that's how you draw attention. And I think they did a great job with this. I'm excited for it. I'll definitely be checking it out.
Very cool. Definitely one to look forward to. And I know a lot of people really liked Returnal. It was a number of people's game of the year it came out. A lot of people have been looking forward to a potential sequel announcement as well. I unfortunately do not know if one is in the works, but I do know that IP has much love behind it, and with it getting a nice little player base when it jumped over to PC as well. Hopefully we will see one coming from Housemarque in the future. For now, we do have some new stuff, though. Graphic novel, art book, animated adaptation, possibly more story and games to come here in the future. With that, we'll move from Nintendo to PlayStation to Xbox, and then we'll kind of move our way over to that multi-plat section. A couple of announcements for the Xbox side first, though. Games coming to Game Pass. We have a new slate. It is a smaller one here. 4 on the graphic, I believe, and it's like 7 games in total, if I remember correctly. So the games not pictured here on the graphic, but have made their way over to Game Pass, are Star Wars Jedi Survivor. That one coming for Game Pass and EA Play, if you subscribe to that separately. Have a Nice Death. That's a little bit of a roguelite-style game, similar and akin to Hades, but more of a side-scrolling adventure. John and I really like the premise of that one. It's kind of like Death is tired of going out there, and he has his minions start to do it, and the office kind of changes over as he gets ready for a vacation. Very fun concept there with some great artwork. The Rewinder was a surprise announced in the ID at Xbox Showcase this week, and then Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, which is pictured here, now available as of today as well. The other 3 games still to come here in the first half of May. May 7th, we'll see us launch Kona 2 Broome, or Broome, B-R-U-M-E, for those who want to pronounce this
Broome
properly. Hey, don't even judge me. Broome. It doesn't have an accent on the E, but I just don't know. I feel like certain games and things are just pronounced so differently at times.
Is it croissant or is it croissant?
Oh, croissant, croissant. I have to curl my mustache before we go into the French next
Why'd time. You go Russian?
I have no idea, man.
Like, what is... Oh, my gosh.
French is not my strong suit. Talking about
croissant and freaking Vladimir shows up.
Ah, you know, I love when Vlad comes through, plays good times. Yes, Kona 2, if you guys want to play that, I'm not going to pronounce the subtitle part of it. May 7th when that one drops. Over on May 9th, we have Little Kitty Big City. Fun fact, I was talking to T-Spans on the OTN Discord last night. He is definitely looking forward to Little Kitty Big City, as many of you who know T-Spans are probably not surprised by. It looks like a fun little game, John. Goofy little cat running through the city. I think you compared it to a more indie version of Stray, which definitely has some of those vibes as well from those who played Stray last year. And then last but not least, May 14th, we'll see the drop of Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. I want to say that's coming to EA Play separately as well for those who have EA Play. Don't quote me on that, but EA, I believe, did publish it, so it should be coming there as well. And this is the older version, I believe, not the remake version. I recently played through it. I honestly thought I was going to have an aneurysm playing through this game. For a slight preview of what you're looking forward to if you check this one out, you have 2 brothers that you control. You control each of them with a different side of the controller. So one brother is your left analog stick, left triggers and buttons. The other is the right analog stick, triggers and buttons. It is very difficult for my brain to process that, and it was hella entertaining watching myself play this game, because I'm like, I was just very frustrated. But it is a great story if you guys can get over the mechanics of it. It's definitely a unique approach to gaming for sure.
Did you record yourself while playing and you watched it back?
I did not, but I'm just
watching myself play.
I'm like thinking from like a second party perspective or whatever you call it.
So you transcended your body. You took your soul and you hovered outside of your body and you watched. Joey, that's why you struggled. Your soul left your body.
You know, as I said, I watched myself play this. I'm like, how am I going to explain this if John's asked a question about it? I'm like, yes, I just, in the moment, I assumed I looked like a goofball because I kept running one brother off on the side of the wall and the other one over here. Because, like, they would cross paths, right? Like, you're jumping over these blocks and eventually they would cross paths somehow. And then I would have to remember that in my head while also performing these certain actions. And it was... It's difficult, at least for some of us. Now, watch many of you guys listening to this podcast. You'll go out and play this game with no issues, and then you'll tag me on Twitter and such, and I'll be like, okay, well, our brains work differently, fam. But I wish you the best. I did 100% it, though. So if you come at me, I also want to see 100% achievement on your side, please.
Remember from the beginning of the show, he doesn't care about achievements. He's not an achievement hunter.
Okay, next up, rumor. for those looking at picking up another new AAA game that didn't do so well at launch, but will be coming to Game Pass supposedly later this year. Again, this is a rumor. Don't quote us. Lords of the Fallen, a few people have picked up the story that will be coming to the service in late May. So if you guys have been holding out on that one for a sale or maybe just didn't have enough you didn't have enough drive to go pick it up from the store, whatever the case may be. If that one has been on your interest list, Lords of the Fallen should be coming later in May if these rumors prove to be true. Next up, we're not going to touch on a ton of these just for time's sake, but IGN and ID at Xbox came together for their second annual showcase as a partnership. This is where a lot of the Xbox games that are kind of being worked on as partners in these development processes at the ID at Xbox program come out and showcase their games. There was a ton of games shown. We're not going to go over every single one of them. It was probably, just scrolling through this list, maybe 30-something games or so shown. Plus, there's a montage, so who knows how many other ones. But some of the highlight ones to look forward to, at least in our opinion, 33 Immortals. This one will be coming to Game Pass from Thunder Lotus. I am stoked for this game, John. I love the idea of this. I know there's a few people on the Discord server pretty excited for this one as well. It's a co-op action roguelite for up to 33 players in a particular server. You play a damned soul and rebel against God's final judgment. Dive straight into epic 33-player co-op battles with instant pickup and raid matchmaking. Cooperate with your allies to survive against hordes of monsters and massive challenging bosses. If you want to play this first trailer for those live with us here on Twitch, this is just one of the boss fights. And John, I know you play quite a bit of World of Warcraft. This is what I imagine a World of Warcraft kind of mythic boss fight looking like. There's a lot of different stuff going on, a lot of different skills that require all the players to kind of work together to accomplish it, at least at the higher difficulties. I think this looks really cool, and I think this is definitely going to be a game on a lot of people's list as we do get closer to its launch. Just really pretty aesthetic, but again, just bringing everyone together in co-op. I think if you skip ahead a little bit in this video, John, it should. I don't know where the boss fight is. Go about halfway, and we should see the boss. This is one of the bosses, Lucifer, where you have ideally 33 players making it to this final stage, but potentially some of them do get lost along the way. Everyone has to kind of work together to use their different skills, their different roguelike mechanics that they've picked up throughout the game, and there's just a bunch of stuff going on from AoE spells to different attack patterns that you kind of have to memorize and work through with the different players that made it that far. Thoughts on this? Is my comparison with a WoW Mythic kind of anywhere in the range? Or am I way off on that one?
Yeah, no. I mean, you're pretty spot on. Having to move around, knowing the fight mechanics, knowing at what time certain actions trigger, or in this case, where to stand. This game is a lot more informal of where you're supposed to be. Just seeing all these zones light up. World of Warcraft does not have a lot of things that are very visual when it comes to aid of the player.
There are plugins though, right? Or something like mods that you can put on for
there
that?
There are. So they have mods, but mainly those are like countdowns and like it's like, they'll tell you like what's coming up and but you still have to figure out like where you need to be. Like example, the raid boss may have an ability that can wipe the entire raid if you get hit or if you're in direct line of sight of the boss and you're not behind a snow pile, right? Because snow piles can stop magic. So the snow piles may drop down, and then you have 3 seconds for your entire raid to get behind 4 snow piles and at an angle that's not in line of sight before the ability goes off. And you kind of have to look around to find out where the snow piles are and so on and so forth. There's mechanics like that where this... Well, like we saw, I'll go ahead and rewind this back and play it while I'm talking about it. You see these red zones that pop up, and then you have a few seconds to kind of move out of the way or dash out of the way or blink or whatever, or you take that direct hit. This has a lot more visual cues for you of where to be and where not to be. So I do like that in that sense, but it does sound like it's going to be pretty difficult to get all 33 people to Uncle Louie's house at the end of the game.
Uncle Louie. I love that. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. I'm curious to take this on with some friends. I think this will be a fun one to dive into.
Do you have 32 friends?
I'm sure I do across somewhere. Not 32 I communicate with daily, but I mean, We'll pull it together. We will pull it together, people. Us and our 32 size party, I guess, question mark. We'll see what happens. It should be fun. And if not, I'm sure there's public matchmaking for John to jump in with us over there as well with your little judgment of my friend.
You don't consider me a friend. Wow.
I do.
I thought I'd be a part of that 32, Joe. You just said public matchmaking where John can join us. Like, that's like, damn, bro.
I feel like there were shots fired over there at first. So I just had to shots fired. There. But don't worry. We're pulling you out of the queue into the priority queue over here, giving you the fast pass into the group of 33 that does move on to Uncle Louie's house, as you called it.
Good old Uncle Louie.
Good old Uncle Louie. what else was in here? We had just to list off a few of the other games, but again, not diving into all these. All You Need Is Help looks like a new puzzle game coming out from Q Games LTD. We have Aster, Blade of the Monolith, another really cool looking indie there. Centum, which was published by Serenity Forge, developed by Hack the Publisher. A number of other ones. One of the big highlight ones, Dungeons of Hinderburg. This one has also been on John and I's radar since last year's Summer Showcase. Coming to Game Pass with a cool art style from developer Microbird Games. This one's going to be a little bit more of an RPG with, I believe, some time travel elements, if I remember correctly. Farah, the Sundered Tribes, a little bit of a flying game there, and much, much more. So if you guys want to check those out, Humanity, I think, was another big one on that list. A number of games shown there, as well as some big updates coming to other games. Pal World is getting an arena mode. We have Vampire Survivors is getting a Contra kind of crossover for a new DLC. Jackbox is getting a Naughty Pack for those who wanted a more adult version of Jackbox.
Yes.
John, your friends over at Don't Nod Montreal is coming out with a new Life is Strange-esque game with Lost Records, Bloom and Rage. This is a new narrative adventure game set in the fictional town of Velvet Cove in the summer of 1995. Four high school friends, Swan, Nora, Autumn, and Kat, spend the summer together hanging out, playing music, and becoming best friends until something changes the trajectory of their lives. After 27 years of silence between them, they reunite to confront the dark secrets that made them promise to never speak again. Definitely right down your alley and for the alley of fans of the Life is Strange series. Stampede Racing Royale. I don't know if I can talk too much about this one, but I have been doing a little bit of testing for them. That game is fun as heck. Think like Battle Royale meets Mario Kart. So, again, I don't know everything I can say, but there are trailers online, so go check it out. Stampede Racing Royale. Tales of Iron 2, Whiskers of Winter is the final one I'm going to mention here. That one is definitely another highlight one. Tales of Iron did really well in and of itself. This is the sequel to that game coming out again a little bit later. I don't know if we got a release date on this one as of yet, but that's from Odd Bug Studio, publisher, United Label, and it will at least be coming to Xbox and PC. I'm not sure on other platforms at this time. So again, guys, really big showcase, quite a bit shown there. The showcase itself had like a pre-show as well. It ended up being like 3 hours long. Again, we're not going to make this podcast 3 hours long. So if you guys want to check out the full showcase, including the pre-show, you can head over to IGN for all of that, as well as find articles on Xbox Wire where they break down kind of everything shown there, some with trailers clipped in, some with names and light details, and you might be able to even find the little mashup trailer at the end as well. Lots of goodness for fans of indie games and lots to look forward to, both on and off Game Pass in the future. Next up, Quick Hit Summer Showcase. We knew it was coming. We assumed it was going to be Sunday, June 9th, because we typically see that on that June 9th Sunday, that second Sunday in June. This one ended up being the case here, and now officially confirmed, Xbox will be hosting their Summer Showcase, and for the second year in a row, it will be a two-parter as well. We're looking at the first part of that at 1 p.m. Eastern time for the kickoff of the main showcase, 10 a.m. Pacific time for those on the West Coast, as well as whatever other time zone you're in. I'm not going to list them all here, but June 9th, Sunday, is the time to look for that one early in the afternoon for our East Coasters where this show is based. John, I'm stoked for this. On top of that, I love the Starfield showcase we got afterwards that ran for another 35, 45 or so minutes. They really dove deep into that game. They don't tell us what it is. They redact this year's. I think it's very possible that this is Call of Duty. And by very possible,
you think?
I mean, it definitely is Call of Duty. I also think it's very possible that this is Black Ops number 5, which will be like a Gulf War spinoff type of game. Hopefully more details will come in this redacted showcase that could be Call of Duty when it does eventually come out. But John, I feel like there's a lot to show here, right? This is the first year we see Xbox plus Bethesda plus Activision Blizzard. We know BlizzCon isn't happening this year in favor of other showcases that are shown globally. So I feel like this is probably one of those showcases where we could see something from Blizzard. I definitely think we'll see the easy, low-hanging fruit stuff, like some World of Warcraft stuff, some Diablo expansion stuff. I don't know if we get a new game announcement, but there's always a possibility that they sprinkle something like that in as well. With that being said, they have a lot to work with here, and I'm very curious how long this showcase is going to be just because they have so many publishers and developers under their umbrella now.
Yeah, it's definitely Call of Duty. I love the fact that there's a $50 bill behind the logo because Call of Duty is a money grab.
Oh, my gosh. I just realized that. That is like a bill.
Yeah, it's a $50 bill. That's where the U.S. Capitol is on, so the $50 bill.
Oh, that's so funny.
Good old Teddy Roosevelt on the other side. I do not think this game's going to cost $50. I think this is just saying that you will spend $50 within the first 3 minutes of playing Call of Duty, because what is Call of Duty if it isn't just a money grab? Joey, I will go on record saying this. I am completely over Call of Duty. It is so saturated. It is so watered down that they are resorting to redacted tactics now. It's just so effing boring. It's the same thing. It's the same argument with Madden, with any sports game. What changes? The map? You don't get to take any of your weapons that you've spent, you know, grandma's $80 million of Amazon bucks on that you can purchase, you know, in-game stuff with. You know, it's just so blah. They still have a cheating issue. They don't want to address it. They've completely alienated the franchise. Joey, if you remember back in PlayStation 2 days when Call of Duty really started to pop off, it was a World War II game. Now we're using sci-fi fake weapons and ships and going in outer space and diddling aliens left and right. In Call of Duty, has nothing to do with war. Has to do with, like, oh, what are we going to do? The Russians going to be the bad guys again? Wow, wow, clever. Didn't see that one coming. Or if it's going to be, the Gulf War. Okay, cool, great. The Middle East is the problem again. Yeah, it's a recycled trope. That's all it is. Call of Duty has run out of ideas. It is a cash grab. The campaigns are an absolute joke. They don't care about campaigns anymore. So much that people that voice these characters or in the voice acting field are even trashing this game. Call of Duty, like, I get it. It's going to sell, and I hate it's going to sell, and they know it's going to sell. And I really wish gamers were more intelligent not to buy this crap. I really, really do. There's going to be $60, $70 games out there that are going to bring you more joy that do not have hackers and cheaters in it, like Call of Duty has been plagued with for decades, it feels like. They're not going to do anything about it. You're going to sink your money into it just for them to come out with another Call of Duty next year and say, guess what? None of this stuff transfers over, and we're shutting the servers down in 5 months. I'm just so, so done with the trope that is Call of Duty. I don't even want to watch it. I'm not excited at all. Starfield had me excited. Why? It was different. It was new. It was exciting. There's a lot of hype around it. The hype around Call of Duty is the same rinse and repeat story year after year after year. I'm not excited for it. And plus, what are they going to do? Remake this redacted version in 3 years and call it the same dang thing and confuse everyone like they've been doing? No. Just go away. Go away, Call of Duty. Just stop.
Now, I err on the side of agreeing with you. But with that being said, every single year, what games really tops the sales charts of pretty much every platform out there, and it is Call of Duty. What game is going to pull in the crazy viewership for this post-showcase show? It's going to be Call of Duty. I do want to hear more about the expansion where you diddle aliens, though, in the future. But for now...
Black Ops 69. coming to the PlayStation 8.
You had that one ready to go.
Had it loaded in the chamber.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting, right? Like, I feel like none of the COD games, at least recently, have landed super well with me. I like the raid system they added into the recent Modern Warfare. I thought that was kind of interesting. But other than that, there really isn't a ton that has really pulled me into Call of Duty. Now, with that being said, and this is, again, low-hanging fruit to some degree, this is the longest we've seen a Call of Duty game in development, I think in at least a decade, maybe 2 decades, probably at least 2 decades, actually. It did get 4 years in the oven. So we've seen this puppy cooking for quite a while. You do that, but a lot of it, like, look at Modern Warfare 3, right? Like, it was super slammed because it had such a quick turnaround time with a really small campaign, pretty much used the same multiplayer, baked it in and added a little bit more to it. So I do think, and again, I'm not going to defend them because a lot of this is going to feel copy and pasted, I'm sure. But to have that extra year in, I'm curious if things do at least come out more polished. If they do add a new mode, they make something a little bit different. I don't know what it's going to be. Again, hopefully we'll hear more in the showcase. Not a ton is leaked out except for the setting. So I am curious what it does end up looking like. But again, as John said, it is Call of Duty. A lot of it will probably be similar to previous Black Ops games as well.
Joey, the oven that this game was in was an easy bake oven. It is going to be the exact same thing. The graphics are not going to blow your socks off. The gameplay is going to be buggy. The hackers are going to be hacking. The cheaters are going to be cheating. It's going to be the same thing you have, just, oh, hey, we spent 4 years making this. Cool, great. It's still going to suck. It's still going to be the same freaking game that you're now going to spend $70 to get at launch and then drop a quick $50 as soon as you log in. That's all it's going to be.
And that is definitely a chance. I do think that is probably a high possibility.
I'd put it at 93%.
But I'm going to be slightly optimistic as someone who used to love the Call of Duty franchise. Again, I was telling chat earlier, I think the peak of the franchise was Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Which version?
The big days. What do you mean, which version?
Which remake version?
Are
we like on the 15th remake version of this?
Ha ha ha, very funny. The original, fam, back in the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 days. I think there was some really good stuff going on there back in that day. The map pack was not the greatest, but the campaign was super solid. The maps played out really well. There's a reason you've seen those maps remade over and over in so many Call of Duty titles. It's because of the nostalgia, because of the popularity, because they were so well built. I really liked a lot of the stuff back then. And I do hope one day we do get some of that nice nostalgia back in here that isn't just a map remake, but truly some really good gunplay as well. We'll see what this one ends up looking like. And again, not saying it is officially, but there's a very, very good chance that the redacted showcase after the main show is based on Call of Duty. Some other announcements with this.
You are trying to move on, so I can't slam this game anymore.
I know. We can slam COD all day. I'm not really played much COD either in the last like decade.
I'm just going to say this. My very scientific survey of my friend group that owns the current Call of Duty, not a single one of them have played the campaign.
I have not.
And to think you're paying this much for a multiplayer game when there's free multiplayer online games out there, is a travesty. This franchise was founded on campaign modes. It made its name on campaign modes. And they have completely neglected it. And yes,
Would you say it made its name on campaign modes, though?
I'm sorry?
I don't think I'd say it made its name on campaign modes.
Call of Duty?
Yeah. I don't think I would say
100%.
That. 100%. Really?
Yes. When Call of Duty first came out, they literally took the World War II fighting games to the next level. There were so many other games that struggled to put out a good World War II game. They were competing up against Wolfenstein. Why do you think Wolfenstein went hard into the whole UFO and occult crap? They couldn't keep up with anything Call of Duty was doing.
No, I mean, and I think it did well in that area, but I feel like the multiplayer is really where it made its name. I mean, we saw the charts spike with the multiplayer once it found success versus just the campaign.
Well, yeah, but Joey, there's other games that tried to go from campaign to multiplayer that didn't work out very well.
For sure.
The Call of Duty fan base was already there because of a solid campaign. Mm-hmm. And then they were able to parlay that into a very successful multiplayer online experience that absolutely popped off. I mean, it's the same thing with Warcraft, with the strategy game, right? So you have that. You allow players to create online maps, and the next thing you know, we have the birth of MOBAs with Defense of the Ancients coming out for Dota 2 and League of Legends. So, I mean, there's things that can happen like that, but it wouldn't have happened if there wasn't the popularity of Warcraft. the multiplayer for Call of Duty wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the popularity of the campaign mode,
for sure,
which they've been neglecting. That's my humble opinion. Everyone's allowed to disagree with me, but as someone who absolutely loved those early game campaigns and they told amazing stories, I would like to see that come back.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely give you that. They were a good foundation to build the multiplayer on, and then from there it jumped into multiplayer and became this huge franchise that it is today. Definitely some good early campaigns, though. I remember, like, what was it, Big Red One was one of the early games. Mm-hmm. That was
Nordashen.
Okay, that was not as early. But the what was the third one? I can't think of the name. Was it just Call of Duty 3, the one that took place in, like, Italy?
Yeah, they numbered it correctly in a very non-Microsoft way. They numbered it numerically. 1, 2, 3, 4, 360, one again.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Microsoft could definitely use some help in the naming convention. We'll see how Call of Duty's franchise continues with its naming as we go on. So we also got some rumored Q4 games. We know a lot of these are targeting a 2024 release. Per The Verge, I believe this was from Tom Warren over there, he came out with a little bit of a schedule of what we can maybe expect for late Q3, early Q4, and you'll most likely see all of these. I would assume every single one of these does land in that Xbox Summer Showcase. For September, he's projecting Starfield, the Shattered Space expansion. We did hear a little bit about this one as a fall release from an interview with Todd Howard. We'll touch on here briefly soon, as well as October. Tom has COD Black Ops Gulf War set to release then. Again, we've seen Call of Duty typically release in a late third week of October through early second week of November window. Looks like that will still be targeted again under this new release schedule. November, we'll see the release of Avowed from Obsidian Games, as well as Flight Sim 2024, which is kind of the flight simulator with some added parts to it. A little bit more helicopter action. There's some jobs involved in there as well, from construction to travel. It'll be interesting to see how all that plays a role in that new simulator format. And then in December, for that big holiday window final push, they have Indiana Jones and the Great Circle currently pegged for that particular month for the release via The Verge. Again, that's a game a lot of people are looking forward to. Indiana Jones, not the biggest of franchises under Disney, but one that does have a pretty decent following, and people are excited for that game coming from Machine Games to hopefully land later this year in 2024. The other thing with this, and people keep asking this, and I've said it a few times on social media, every single showcase that Nintendo or PlayStation or Xbox has, everyone's like, Hollow Knight Silk Song. When are we going to get Hollow Knight Silk Song? Yes, everyone's looking forward to that game. I do think you see it at this showcase. From what I remember, Xbox has the marketing rights for this. I would be stunned if they don't put it in their biggest showcase with it being such a big, highly anticipated title. So I think there's a very, very good shot. You heard it here. It will probably be in this showcase if I had to guess. Sticking with Starfield, I know, John, you've played quite a bit of Starfield. I still have quite a bit to go because I went a little too heavy into the old achievement hunting edge and the 100% completionist thing, and I need to speed things up, per se, because this expansion does come out later this year. We did get some more Starfield updates from Todd Howard in an interview. He was with Kinda Funny talking about Fallout as well as Starfield. We got to look at a Starfield update coming here in May. Quite a few things coming out in the May update. And then from there, Shattered Space coming out later this fall. In the May update, what are we getting? For the Xbox Series consoles, we're getting 60 frames per second, as well as unlocked VRR for those who really want to cap into the graphics potential of Starfield on that next-gen hardware. We have new gameplay options, new difficulty options, tons of quality life improvements, as your bug squashes and little fixes here and there of that stuff. One thing everyone's been asking for since launch is surface maps. For those who got lost on the planet surfaces, now you're going to get much more detailed planet maps, especially of the cities that will break down the locations, the stores, all of that goodness on those particular surface maps. You have ship interior and customization changes. So if you really got into the shipbuilding or found the shipbuilding difficult, now it should be a lot easier with a lot more options on that front as well. The dialogue camera, if you're someone who doesn't want to stare right into the eyes of the person you're talking to in these Fallout / Starfield games, this is going to be something that does change that up a little bit, where you can kind of toggle a farther away camera. So maybe you're not staring directly into the person's eyes. You can kind of fall back a little bit, still look around the room in case, I don't know, an enemy is approaching you from the side. I don't think they can attack you in combat when you're talking, or create combat rather when you're in a dialogue sequence, but now you can at least look around and be prepared once that dialogue ends. You have New Game Plus trait respecking for those who've jumped into the New Game Plus version, and then visual and performance modes have been enhanced again, kind of in line with what we have here with the 60 frames per second as well as the unlocked VRR. in development, and they show a little bit of footage in this in the particular, I think this is part of an interview, but a separate interview that they put out. There's land vehicles that will be making their way. They have the first land vehicle being created. John shaking his head on that one for planetary exploration. There's a creation kit beta for those looking to mod and kind of put out their content creations. New quests, and of course, the massive Shattered Space expansion, which should be the first of at least two expansions to come to the game later. This one this year, the next one probably next year. John, as someone who's finished Starfield and played quite a bit after that, what are your thoughts on Shattered Space and where they could go next with this one?
Back in my day, we didn't have no surface maps. We had to explore the cities and memorize where the hell everything was. No, okay, geezer hat off here. the amount of complaints this game generated from the gaming community was absolutely absurd. Yes, it's a Bethesda game. Yes, it has Bethesda bugs. I fully understand that. I experienced some of them. Love the spoil in the trailer, by the way. That was incredible. But nonetheless, look, I think it's going to be good for gamers overall. Having more customization options, having different... Another spoiler. This is killing me. Why are they spoiling their game in this damn trailer? I don't... Okay, anywho. Base building, I feel like you could easily neglect. It didn't play any major role in the game. Changing how your ship looked didn't really matter, because most of the ships you got, if you go off and grab the Mantis, like, that's the ship you need to go get in the early beginning. That's just fact. But after that, like, you hardly need to get another ship. It's not imperative in this game to do any of this stuff. So a lot of things that they're adding are just going to, for lack of better terms, just shut people up. And that's fine. That's fine. I think being able to modify how the game plays after you get to New Game Plus, I think that's completely fine. I'm cool with that. I would rather them fix the bugs. I would rather them fix the graphical issues. I think the story was fine. I think there were some issues where the story was a little choppy here and there. Fix that. But I think overall the game was fine. I think people were just expecting a different type of game, and because it wasn't what they had in their mind, they automatically trashed it. It's not like this game was broken, right? This, yes, you know, any new game, there's going to be crashes in a game until they can fix the bugs and everything. That was the thing, like with any game, crashes happen. But I just feel like the gaming community kind of overreacted to how bad, in air quotes, this game was. Cool, great. Having vehicles on the surface is going to get you around a lot faster. I really hate to break it to you. Like, yeah, these planets are massive. If you land in Florida when you go to Earth and you think you can take 5 steps and find yourself in New York City, you're out your damn mind. If you think you're going to hop in a dune buggy in Florida and drive to New York City, it's going to take you all of 21 hours to do it because it's a absolutely massive map. It's not to scale. It doesn't work that way. There are other things I'd rather them fix. Like, I don't know, when you first fly a spaceship in this game, explaining how fast travel works. That would have been nice. Things like that, right? Not like the people that are ooh and aahing over the fact you can put a freaking Turkish rug in your spaceship. Congratulations. There's a game for you already. It's called The Sims. I just like... To me, like, that doesn't make sense. There's so many other things they need to fix in this game to make this game stable and to really shut people up and be like, oh, it's not Fallout. Oh, it's not Elder Scrolls. You're right. It's not. So shut up and play the game. It's as simple as that. It's not a Fallout game. It's not an Elder Scrolls game. If you're mad because it's not either one of those two, do yourself a favor. Control-F4, get out of there, and load Fallout. And load Elder Scrolls. Go play those games because that's what you're looking for. That's not Starfield. Well, so I'm sick and tired of people being like, oh, it's not the game I expected. Well, congratulations. It's not the game you expect because you're expecting Fallout. What?
You're definitely fiery on this one. I like it.
It's stupid. Like, this game is not terrible. It's not terrible. It's not Overwatch, right? You're talking two studios that spent over a decade on two very different types of IPs. I would argue Overwatch is the more simplistic IP And me being a Blizzard fanboy, they absolutely fumbled the living crap out of Overwatch. Bethesda spends 10 plus years working on a brand new IP in Starfield, and it's a good game. The story's good. The idea's good. Oh, and space travel, it's overdone. Congratulations. It's space, yeah, whatever. Zombies, go away. But it still works. The space fighting with your ships was good. Like, if you changed how your ship handled or the types of engines, you felt it in-game. That's exactly what you went, oh, when I upgraded my ship, I couldn't pull off this maneuver anymore. Yeah, because you're in a damn cargo ship. I want to see you try to go 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds on the freeway in a damn 18-wheeler. You're not going to do it. She a thick boy. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, you can do it in a Ferrari. Why? Because it's a Ferrari. But guess what you can't do in a Ferrari? You can't carry cargo. So there's a trade-off. Holy crap, imagine a game where you have to think and take trades here and there on what you need to do for what mission. Oh my God, Joey, it's almost like you have to think when you play video games. It's almost like you have to think when you play an RPG, a role-playing game. You have to think. It blows my mind just how ridiculous the gaming community was with Starfield. And it wasn't even complaints on the valid things. It was complaints on the BS things. Enjoy the bugs where the torso stands still and the arms and the legs are flailing around as they're staring deep into your soul. Enjoy those bugs. They're funny. They make you giggle, right? It's not game-breaking. It's not, oh, Elder Scrolls never had this. Oh, Fallout never had this. It's stupid. It's not the same game. It's a brand new IP. Get over it. Enjoy the game. Crazy thing. You paid for it. Enjoy the game. And if you don't, uninstall and go back to a game you do and just shut the hell up.
Well, and I mean, for the record, this did have less bugs at launch, at least from what we've seen, compared to Fallout and Elder Scrolls. So they did do a good job polishing it overall. I think people just came in with super lofty expectations, right? New IP, 10 years of development, and you don't have stuff like city maps that people were maybe expecting for some reason. You don't have the ability to travel the full way and distance in a spaceship, which I 100% agree with you. They need to explain fast travel earlier on.
Yes.
I remember, I think you had the early access or whatever. You launched it, and we're like trying to travel to a planet. We, as in John, is playing, and I'm watching him stream on Discord or Twitch or whatever. And it's like, that planet's not really getting much closer. And we've been going for a good 15 minutes or so. And then we realized there's a whole fast travel system built in that was never explained at the beginning of the game. Completely changed the game. Now, do I think you should have been able to fly closer to a planet into the atmosphere and then maybe it like auto triggers a cutscene where you land? I do think that would have been a nice quality of life, and I would like the ability for that to come to this game later on down the line, maybe even through a mod. With that being said, I don't think it's necessarily necessary. I think the fast travel system does work pretty well. And yes, you get the argument, I don't want to spend a ton of time in the menus. Well, it's really not that long, is it, guys? Like, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, look over the whole navigation system? You click the planet you're going to. Do you have enough fuel? Yes, then click move on. No, not enough fuel? Okay, let's grab fuel. Let's upgrade the ship so it holds more fuel. Or let's stop at this nice little universe on the way and then jump to the next galaxy as we go. It is one of those things where, yes, I understand the argument, but I also think it's not as bad as people make it sound in that sense. Again, the bugs are the same way. I think there have been plenty of games launched, even by Bethesda, with plenty more bugs that launched. And I do think Starfield had quite a bit. Just the quest alone, John, I can't even tell you the number of times I've like walked through New Atlantis and it's like, ooh, conversation about this, conversation about that, conversation about this. And I walk through and I end up with like 15 quests in my inventory. It's like, you heard this in whispers. Do you want to continue to investigate? Okay. And as a completionist, this was terrifying.
That pissed me off. I hated the whisper quests. I'm like, no, I don't want this. I didn't want to eavesdrop. I just want to kill a guy. I do not want to go bring coffee to Sarah up on the 15th floor of this tower in Neon. I don't care. Sarah can starve. She can go dehydrate herself. I do not care. I'm trying to kill homeboy around the corner.
See, I was the opposite. I would hear like this conversation like, ooh, meet me with a briefcase in this courtyard at this time. And I'm like, dang.
It's because you're sketchy.
I really should keep doing this main quest, but squirrel. And I just would go do these other things. And then I would go do these other things. It's like, okay, I've completed 10 side quests. but I've gotten nowhere on the main quest. Meanwhile, John is like way down the line on New Game Plus, God knows what number at that point. So we have definitely played the game differently, but I think that's one of the joys of the game, right? If you want to take your time, or if you're distracted and you don't necessarily want to be distracted, but are anyway, you can play like I did, or you can be like John and hammer through the main quest, do your New Game Plus stuff, and then really dive into some of the extra side stuff. I think it just offers a lot of different ways to play, not to mention the thousand or so planets, which, yes, I get the argument. Some of them are not handcrafted because you do have handcrafted sections, but then they're kind of optimized through different procedural generation stuff. I get it. I do think with this new update, you will get probably some, I would think they're straight up handcrafted planets if I had to guess completely. Maybe even a handcrafted galaxy of sorts, because development on this did start probably a few years ago when they started the polishing side of Starfield. So it should have some time under its belt. I'm curious to see what we do end up getting with Shatter Space when it does come in fall 2024. But yes, Starfield is a good game. It is not as bad as some people out there will lead you to believe. Do I think it'll get better over time? Yes. Do I think mods will definitely make it better? Absolutely. But that's the same thing you can say for Skyrim. Same thing you can say for the Fallout games. Mods have definitely improved those over time, as have the Bethesda updates as well. Anything else to say on Starfield or the Xbox Showcase? I feel like we could do a whole show on the potential showcase shows, but there's only so much time on today's episode.
My only thing is I think Todd Howard makes a good point that the criticism is unjust because of unrealistic expectations and the type of game it was.
Agreed.
And you know, maybe the gaming community is to blame a little bit. Maybe it was overhyped a little bit. But at the same time, it got overhyped for a very good reason. It's Bethesda. New IPs coming out don't happen overnight. They're lifelong programs for some of these guys. Guys and gals, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, why would you expect a new IP to be a Fallout, to be an Elder Scrolls? It's a new IP. It wouldn't be a new IP if it was Fallout, if it was Elder Scrolls. Like, it just wouldn't be a new IP. Is it the same kind of genre of a fantasy role-playing game? Sure. But how many different fantasy role-playing games out there are incredibly different from one another? A ton. Mm-hmm. A boatload.
Absolutely.
So I think the gaming community deserves some criticism here. And I think Todd Howard has a point. You know, the negative reaction is because people were expecting Fallout and Skyrim and Elder Scrolls. Like, I get it. I get it. It makes sense. But here's the thing. You quickly learn it is not Fallout. You quickly learn it is not Elder Scrolls. Move on. You literally learn that within the first 30 minutes of this game. If you complete the game and you're still complaining about it, you completely miss the point. It's not supposed to be those games. And also, Joey, my full plan is once I get through New Game 10, I'm going to go back and do all the quests, all the side quests and everything when I'm stupid OP. And just absolutely obliterate some of these people.
I so, like that. I like that a
that's
lot.
That's my goal.
And I do remember, like, to go along with the criticism, we're not going to spend a ton more time on this topic, but I remember people on social media around the time, they would come out and say all these things about Starfield, and then someone would ask a question about something that happens in the early game, and they would be like, oh, yeah, I remember that, and da-da-da-da, this. And then you find out the thing never happened in the game, and they're just completely making this stuff up, and they have, like, 10 to 15 minutes of playtime in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is just wild to me. So you can just tell, like, a lot of this stuff. And again, part of it is the whole Xbox versus PlayStation drama. Part of it is people just want clicks anyway, whatever they can get it with, game, platform, whatever the case may be. And a lot of this, unfortunately, Starfield became a victim of when it did initially launch. And again, I think part of this is also Xbox's fault. I do think, and not Xbox, that they overlooked the game in a different way, but the fact that when they acquired Bethesda, everyone kind of put the expectations on Xbox, and they didn't do a great job of fighting them off as far as this game has to land well. This is why they acquired Bethesda, this new IP, whatever the case may be. And it did not land as well as people expected. And as a result, I think that giant beef of, oh, yes, this is going to carry Xbox in this new decade and this new, I don't know, regime, rather, of them kind of owning these new publishers and studios. And I don't think it delivered in that way. And a lot of people kind of came down on that just because they put those lofty expectations like you and Todd talked about.
Yeah, and I think the last criticism I want to point out is for how long it took for the community to realize New Game Plus is random, the critiques that, oh, I got a different version of the game. Why was my game broken? Why did I have this and you didn't? Why did I experience this and you didn't? Because New Game Plus is random. It's a random reset. It's literally what it is. I personally think it's a great version of a New Game Plus. It keeps the game interesting. Mm-hmm. It keeps the game. The dialogues may change. And you have the option to pretty much do a full hard reset and act like you just got found back on the original mining colony like you did in your first playthrough, but you keep all your powers. Like, you have that option. Spoiler alert, even though they did it in the damn trailer. But the thing is like, you have that option. You also have the option of not doing that and getting unique voice lines from certain characters in this game. It's a random reroll every time you go through New Game Plus. And, you know, the fact that people were complaining about that, that it was random, it was different, it was a unique experience. Joey, God forbid it's a unique experience. Like, that's what makes this game interesting, is you don't have the same experience your friend does, and that creates conversation. Absolutely. Oh, man, I want to do this again because I want to experience that now. Crazy. Play the game. Have fun. Weird.
I know. We are weird people out there. We've had everyone judge Blades of Grass and Far Cry 6 all the way to comparing Starfield directly with Fallout and Elder Scrolls. But we're here. We do have new expansions coming. We'll see if that does light a fire under some people to maybe jump back into Starfield or give it a second chance here in the future. Last bit of Xbox news here before we jump into our multi-plat general gaming news section and then wrap up today's show eventually after that. Xbox Cloud Streaming is rumored to give you the ability to play games you own in your console library coming in July, according to Xbox Era. Now, again, guys, there are some question marks I have with this article, so I'm not 100% into this. I will tell you, I know there's testing that is going on for Xbox Cloud Streaming of your own games. I know there have been multiple tests out there, and I do know it's drawing closer to launch. I don't have an exact date, but given what I know, I would assume somewhere around this July, maybe even early fall range, is when we will eventually see that come out, or at least start rolling out in some more public waves. There's some other interesting stuff in here, John. One thing that kind of triggered me quite a bit on Discord, I do not like this at all. So we have this whole thing, right? Like, Microsoft is putting more games on PlayStation and Nintendo, and I'm totally fine with that. I love the idea of more people having more access to games. But then, according to this Xbox Era article, Microsoft is looking to work with major publishers on exclusivity deals with the hope that they will be the only ones to offer the games via cloud streaming and digital ownership. This drives me crazy. Can you imagine where not only do we move from third-party exclusivity, but we move to third-party exclusivity for a certain type of license? Oh, yeah, you want to play Persona 6? You're on a PlayStation? You have to buy it digitally. What? Are you kidding me? Just the thought of a particular platform, regardless if it's PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, whoever, to lock something digitally and just make everyone else do it physically, knowing that more and more people are buying digital, is such an underhanded method, and I really hope this rumor is not true. The rumored game, there are supposedly multiple in the works, but the one that came out in this article was Persona 6 from Sega and Atlus. Supposedly, they did turn down the offer for this exclusivity deal, but John, I really, really hope this is not really a thing, because this would really trigger me if anyone did this.
Joey, we all know we don't own the digital license to anything. Sony taught us that with Crunchyroll. You can buy it all you want. You can think you own the digital copy, but when Sony comes around and snaps her fingers, you're going to be barehanded real quick. this doesn't surprise me at all. But Joey, my inner teacher just had a moment here.
Oh, yes, please.
Mr. Jesse Norris.
If is it a grammatical error?
No.
Okay.
But if you're going to start your article with a post in the Gaming Leaks and Rumors subreddit,
oh yeah,
that is your source. Is
Wikipedia,
Reddit.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it's the Wikipedia argument all over, even though at least Wikipedia has a citation section so you can actually fact check real quick. We're going with Reddit, where any degenerate can post whatever the hell they want on it. Joey, I'm not going to lie. When I saw this link and I pulled it up, I 100% checked out after the first five words. just because it says a post on the Gaming Leaks and Rumors subreddit, I stopped. I could not take this seriously.
Yeah, it is interesting. And the post did only cover the digital license part that's talked at the top of the article. I don't know where they're getting this other information from. None of this was in that Reddit post. So I really have no idea if this is from their sources or whatever the case may be. But I am really hoping that this is not a thing. Again, digital exclusives would be so hella annoying.
Give me 5 minutes. I'm going to start a new thread on that same subreddit real quick. And I will dispel these rumors for you.
That would be pretty entertaining. But again, it could just be rumors. This particular part did not come from that Reddit post. But I do not know the source on it either. It could be someone's grandfather that knew someone who worked in Activision back in the 60s. I really don't know. But with that being said, I don't even know if Activision was around in the 60s. Probably should fact check that one before we start throwing things around here.
Back in the good old days where Call of Duty focused on World War I.
Classic times. Classic Call of Duty. Back when it was at its best.
Back when my Atari, we had three games, Pong, Pong 2, and Pong 360.
The Atari wasn't even out then, was it? That had to be later.
Probably, I think that was like the 70s or something.
Yeah, I think Atari was probably 70s. Atari original launch. Let's find out
like 72?
If I can spell original. Guess is 72?
Yeah.
I will take the over. Atari. Let's go to our good source, Wikipedia.
Oh, no. Let's fact check it with Reddit real quick.
Released in September 1977. So I slightly win the over on that one. Is that the actually the first date? Yeah, it did release first in NA, so that is the initial date there. 1977. Wow. So if you guys go to some video game trivia nights, now you know when Atari first came out.
Should have gone with 75, so it was more of a crapshoot for you.
Oh, 75, I don't know if I would have gone over or under on. Yeah, I don't know what I would have chosen in that case.
I was being ballsy, sir.
You did. You went ballsy. Fortunately, it backfired this time. But what is not going to backfire is our multi-plat general gaming news section, our final section of the day. Tencent has increased its shareholding in Remedy Entertainment. Yes, our Chinese overlords of Tencent continue to invest in game development companies, and they do it incrementally. We've seen this God knows how many times at this point. They're like, oh, we'll take 1% of that. We'll take 5%. We'll jump to 10 and 15, and eventually we'll own the whole company as well as your grandparents. They've increased their shares.
Grandparents are getting picked on this episode.
They are. The grandparents definitely involved from playing their Ataris back in the 60s before they came out, all the way to today where Tencent is buying them out. Remedy, for those who don't know, they had Game of the Year award winner Control, as well as Alan Wake 2, which won a number of awards this year. And Tencent is the giant Chinese company over there that owns a ton of licenses in Asia and beyond. Again, they are increasing to 15% here. What does it mean for now? Not really too much. Tencent is generally pretty faithful with giving stuff out to everyone, so it's not going to mean exclusives for Xbox or PlayStation or Nintendo or anything like that. It'll most likely continue to roll out everywhere. If not, it guarantees it will roll out everywhere, but it does have Tencent involved with it, which does mean microtransactions may make their way into those games later on in the future. We'll have to keep an eye on that down the line. And a little bit more negative news, Take-Two layoffs have continued. Take-Two originally came out, the Strauss Zelnick, the CEO over there in March, said, hey, we're not going to go to layoffs. We have some other plans to kind of mitigate those. And about a little less than a month later, he's like, actually, we're going to lay people off. And they continue to do so. Now moving over to May with more layoffs rolling out. A couple articles here, one from Game Industry Buzz. I believe another may have been Jason Schreier as well. I think he put one out too. But some of the studios involved, we have Roll 7 and Intercept Games, as well as Private Division. Private Division, super popular publisher. They've done everything from, I think, some like Borderlands games. They did The Outer Worlds. Roll 7 just won some awards with Roller Dome. Intercept Games, I can't remember what they made, but also another developer under that Take-Two umbrella. Unfortunately, all of these studios closing. And for Private Division, that one might be rolled down completely. They're shutting down teams in Seattle, New York, Las Vegas, and Munich on that one. So super unfortunate. Again, this is not something new to the industry. We've seen layoffs pretty much all across from indie devs to big AAA publishers. Take-Two continuing to lay off here. And it hurts, John. I mean, yes, we saw a giant hiring wave kind of coming with COVID as more and more people were playing games while they were stuck at home. And we've seen a lot of that continue up to some degree, not necessarily with the hiring, but with a lot of the revenue and even turning over quite strong revenue. We are seeing hardware decline, but software has really not fallen all that much. We're continuing to see layoffs. I don't know if part of this is just projecting out to what could be in the future once things kind of settle out a little bit more, or what the case may be. But unfortunately, another victim of big layoffs here. Next up, we have Ubisoft in one of today's themes of delayed games kind of coming back to life out of nowhere. X-Defiant, that game that was supposed to release, I think, like 2 years ago at this point, in fall, maybe like 2022. It's finally back around, and it finally has a release date, similar to Star Wars Hunters here. This one dropping May 21st, coming to PS5, Xbox Series X and S, as well as PC. On PC, it'll be available via Ubisoft and Ubisoft Connect. So if you guys want to check out X-Defiant, kind of like the... I think it's a Call of Duty-like title. Gunplay should be similar to Call of Duty, but there are skills involved as well. So kind of blending a little bit of what we have with Valorant and Call of Duty kind of together in one game. I've heard playtests have been pretty decent from those who have played. There were some earlier playtests that didn't go so well, but you won't hear too much about those because I believe there were some NDAs associated with them. But overall, some people excited for this one. A number of people thinking this one flops as soon as it drops. John, I know with your strong Call of Duty calling that you've given us on today's show, X-Defiant is probably right toward the top of your list, I'm imagining.
Pass.
Who saw that one coming in chat? Absolutely. This next one, John, maybe the weirdest announcement we have
also
in today's
show. Also a pass.
Yeah, I'm a hard pass on this one as well. I am a Man City fan, for those who don't know, but this is a weird freaking announcement. The striker for Manchester City Football Club over there in England's Premier League, Erling Haaland, has become the first real person in Clash of Clans. He's been an avid player for over a decade. But, John, I cannot even look at the image of him in this game and take it seriously, and I don't understand why this is happening. I mean, yes, worldwide icon. Yes, he'll probably pull people to try to check out this game, but this has got to be up there for one of the weirdest partnerships we've ever seen in gaming.
First off, I look at this and I think his name is Cletus. I speak for the rest of the EPL when I say Manchester City sucks. Them and their oil money, which, funny enough, is when Joey became a fan. Weird. Anywho, I hate, absolutely hate that this isn't even a thing. This is bringing attention to Manchester City, and I don't like it. I don't like it. Maybe is it because I'm jealous that my team's not going to have a head coach here in the next couple of weeks, and three coaches have turned us down already? Yeah, there's a little football rivalry in there as well. But at the end of the day, I don't like Clash of Clans. I don't like Manchester City, and I don't like Haaland. He also played for Borussia Dortmund in the German Bundesliga, which means I hate him even more. I don't even want to give him screen time anymore. Look at that. I'm just going to get rid of the article like it never happened. No, this is the weirdest crossover. Like, this is almost as bad as is it FlyQuest and Turtle Wax?
Oh yeah, for the Rocket League team.
Yeah, yep. I just no, no, thank you.
Yeah, definitely some weird ones out there. Absolutely. This one, yeah, it looks weird, seems weird. It's like a month-long event, so it won't be there permanently. But if you do want to jump in with Haaland replacing the Barbarian King, as John's named him Cletus, for the
Cletus!
Next month, you can do so in Clash of Clans.
He's up there with Uncle Louie.
Uncle Louie and Cletus. Guys, we have some great nicknames to come away from today's show. Just a couple other stories to join you as well. Walmart and Roblox, Sean. I think this one could be actually a big deal. I don't really know exactly what it's going to end up pertaining, but the big idea here is that Walmart and Roblox are pairing up and giving Walmart the ability to sell physical goods within Roblox. We've kind of seen this a little bit with Fortnite, not in an e-commerce sense, but where Fortnite has kind of bridged the gap of just being a game, where it's now a game platform. You have the ability for sales, I believe, on the UEFN stuff with content creation from users. You've seen concerts in there from like Marshmello. I think Ariana Grande was in there as well with a concert recently. A lot of different big name pop stars and performers making their way into Fortnite. We've seen big crossover events with stuff like Marvel and Star Wars and anime IPs all over the place. They've done a very good job becoming a platform. Roblox in and of itself is a platform as well. We've seen user-created content. We've seen all different things on marketplaces, from digital goods to now real-life goods. I think from a publicly traded perspective, with Roblox going public on the stock market, this is what could jump their stock back up. I think it's down, I want to say it debuted at like $75 a share, at least in the US. Then from there, it's dropped down into the 30 range. I think this could be what brings it back up. Making a partnership with a huge chain like Walmart, giving the ability to kind of surpass what we have with digital commerce and become an e-commerce with physical beings, I think could be interesting, right? Now, is this your target audience? That, I think, is where the question mark comes in. Is little Tommy, who is playing his little random Roblox game, going to go out there and buy groceries via Walmart? Probably not. Are there older people who play Roblox? Absolutely. And I think this is going to target them more. Now, does this become a little bit of a danger zone with little Tommy buying things from Walmart potentially?
Yes.
That could also be a big red flag. And we've seen that with kind of Fortnite and their currency as well. Yeah, I don't know. I think from a public perspective, this has potential. But also, I just don't know if they're going to hit their target audience, because I think that Roblox age is just a little bit too low for e-commerce to matter as much.
Remember when Walmart was rolling out e-sport arenas in Walmarts? Then they like started in Alabama.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot and, about that.
That failed miserably. I don't know how I feel. Like, okay, so I'm conflicted. Walmart owns my favorite football team. So I want this to do well because that means more money for the Denver Broncos. but I also don't want this to do well because I think the idea is stupid as hell. This is right up there with, oh, Starfield's not Fallout. I just think it's dumb. I don't understand how this is going to attract players. Like,
oh, I don't think this is going to attract players at all. Like, I think they're banking on percentages from sales.
Yeah, but like... PeopleofWalmart.com. I'm just going to leave it there. PeopleofWalmart.com. I don't see these people doing any of this.
It's just weird, right? Like, they cannot be the target demographic. And then legally, you have to restrict it, right? So a 13-year-old or someone 13 or under, I think it's 13 or under, it could be 13 or over, there is that limitation on what they can do and what they can spend. This is not exactly...
Joey.
That has to be your biggest audience, right? Like 13 and under, I would imagine, would be Roblox's biggest
you
audience.
Act like you've never lied about your age on a video
sure,
game.
Sure,
play.
Sure. Yes, that's obviously a potential opportunity.
I was 21 when I was 12 multiple times.
Oh my gosh.
Multiple times.
It is a little different with online credit cards and stuff, though. And again, there is access to parents' credit cards and things like that. That could be a big question mark here, like we've seen come up with Fortnite.
All I'm trying to say is grandma's not paying attention. She's baking cookies. I'm going to go on her purse and take her credit card. Because this 12-year-old posing as a 21-year-old, I'm getting me some Roblox stuff. Let's go.
Let it be known that Level Up does not condone this behavior. Just want to make that disclaimer right now for those listening now or down the line. yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll see how it ends up being. Again, Roblox continuing these partnerships. I think they started an ad-based partnership last year, now an e-commerce one with Walmart. Walmart's huge. Roblox is huge. Does it end up being a positive thing for either side? That is going to be a big TBD for now. But keep an eye on Grandma while she's making her cookies. Don't let that credit card slip out of the old purse. But for now, with just a couple other bits of news, Fortnite x Star Wars, John. We do have a little trailer we can play live on the show here. We just talked about the partnerships. Fortnite and Star Wars, I feel like this is a partnership that has been made well. We've seen some really cool crossovers. Obi-Wan was highlighted in the last one. Vader also making his way into the Fortnite world. Now we have a new look at some new stuff coming. This is going to come May 3rd for those listening live. That is tomorrow. For those listening to the podcast later down the line, that is Friday, May 3rd, when this one does kick off with Star Wars returning to Fortnite. Some really good stuff in this trailer. I think they did a great job with the trailer in and of itself. And I think this is the beginning of many, many more partnerships and crossovers that we do see from Disney and Epic as well.
Joey, I'm just going to be honest with you real quick. Two things will make me play Fortnite. Number one, let me control the Death Star and blow up the planet that is Fortnite. Two, let me recreate Anakin Skywalker walking into the Jedi Temple after Order 66. I will do both, and I will download Fortnite. Fortnite, those are my cards. They're on the table. The move is yours. If you really want me to play Fortnite, that's what it's going to take.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the average age of kids is probably right around there, right, for those Fortnite players. So you could recreate it a little bit differently. I think there are lightsabers coming into the game as well. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. We did not condone that either. But the Death Star shooting. yeah, that could be interesting. Taking out the world of Fortnite. Absolutely. Good times there. So if you guys want to check out that crossover, again, comes out May 3rd. Star Wars and Fortnite. The second or third of many probably to come here in the future. Funko Pops. They've done a little bit with gaming here and there. Now they're creating their own game, though, John. Funko Fusion. Funko Fusion has a new gameplay trailer, just about 2 minutes or so long. If you guys are into Funko Pops and want a little bit more of that video game crossover action like you had with Gears Pop, the mobile game a few years ago, it looks like it will be coming once again here. They didn't really jump too much into all the IPs that will be involved in this game. We did get a little preview of a couple of them. I think they did a logo flash here. Jurassic World, The Umbrella Academy, Scott Pilgrim, Invincible, Five Nights at Freddy's, Jurassic Park, another Jurassic Park, Five Nights at Freddy's, Jaws, lots of different IPs there under that umbrella that Funko has licensorship deals with. So I don't exactly know what this game is going to look like in the end, if it's kind of going to be like a Fortnite where we do have these different skins and IPs kind of coming together in some sort of battle royale fashion, or what it ends up being in the end. But September 13th, 2024 is going to be the release of this. If you want to find out more, if you have that Funko Fusion flavor, FunkoFusion.com is the place to be to find out more info on this game and keep track of new updates as they come through. What do we got? We got one topic left. Speaking of toy makers, Hasbro, they're looking to further increase their investments into video games with over $1 billion invested so far. They've seen some recent success, John. Maybe some games you've heard of, Monopoly Go, one of the best games on mobile right now as far as revenue brought in, and Baldur's Gate 3, also the biggest game of the award or game of the year award winner in, I think, ever, to be completely honest. It won awards from all different shows all over the place, and I think it swept the big four as far as award shows go for that Game of the Year award win. At the moment, Hasbro has four studios under their umbrella that we know of working on games. That's Archetype Entertainment, currently working on a sci-fi RPG named Exodus. Atomic Arcade, this game sounds sick to me. It's a Snake Eyes G.I. Joe game. G.I. Joe is not my favorite of IPs, but a Snake Eyes game I think could be really well done, especially knowing that it is led by veterans from Batman Arkham Asylum over there at Rocksteady. We have Invoke Studios working on a Dungeons & Dragons game. And then last but not least, Skeleton Key working on a horror game as well. Of these, I'm probably most excited for Archetype Entertainment sci-fi RPG. But again, the Snake Eyes game does have me interested, especially knowing Batman Arkham Asylum vets are over there, because I think the Batman Arkham series did do quite well when it dropped and the combat was very fluid. Anything else on Hasbro? I see that goofy smile coming out over there. What you going to give me?
There's no goofy smile, my guy. Is this okay, me realizing I'm not going to be playing any of those games?
Yeah, I know. They're not super, super exciting to me, but Hasbro investing more money, we'll see what it ends up being. And then last but not least, if you guys are on PC and want to claim your free games from Epic Games, the Epic Game Store, we'll give these games away until Thursday, May 9th. I believe they flip over sometime around noon Eastern time that day. Those games are Orcs Must Die 3, currently a $30 value that has been reduced to free, and then Cat Quest 2, a $15 value that has been reduced to free as well. So if you have a PC, go ahead and jump on the Epic Game Store and claim those if you want those licenses. If you don't have a PC, well, you can always make an Epic account via a browser, claim them, and then go back and get them later on when you may have a PC down the line. With that being said, John, I think that does bring us to the end. We've gone over from what we typically do topic-wise, but I know we felt very, very strongly about certain topics like Starfield today, and I hope you guys enjoyed that discussion and John's rant on Starfield as we do prepare for Shattered Space to launch later this year.
Joey, it's Star Wars weekend. May the 4th be with you, sir. Nation, that is going to do it for this edition of Level Up Live. But before you go, make sure you follow the show on Twitch to catch the next episode of Level Up Live. If you listen to the show on our podcast feed, please do leave us a review. Level Up Podcast is available Spotify, there we go, words, iTunes, and Google Play, and your podcatcher of choice. Just look us up. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from our community so much. We offer you multiple ways. Words are difficult today. Multiple ways for you to reach out to us. Joey, what are those ways?
Remember when John made fun of me for mispronouncing a word earlier in today's show?
Yes. Brume.
So do I.
Get out of here, Brume.
You guys can find us on socials, Twitter/X and Facebook at OTN Media. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads at OTN_media. Over here on Twitch, the show is typically Thursdays around 8 p.m. Eastern time. We try to do some other streams throughout the week, whether it's John and I or others from the OTN Media family. That's twitch.tv/OTN Media. And last but not least, come join the conversation on our Discord server. Discord.me/OTN is where to find that. Conversations from gaming to sports and beyond happening over there as well. Thanks as always, guys, for tuning in. John, finish us out.
All right, make sure you stay tuned for Joey's foreign language experience following Level Up tonight. French time with Joey. But until... but if you are looking for Level Up, we will return next Thursday, May 9th, as we continue to cover the latest and greatest in gaming news. Do your ears, eyes a favor, hit that sub and follow button to know when the next episode is ready for your entertainment pleasures. We'll catch you all next week. Enjoy your weekend. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And Joey, in French. Yeah, you can't do it.
Wait, you didn't give me the "and" as always. I didn't have my trigger, did it?
And always.
Level up.